This program may contain content of an explicit nature. Listener discretion is advised. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you tonight's special presentation.
It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life.
Well, I've heard of ambulance chasing, but this is something new.
He destroyed himself. How true that will be.
This brain has been drained.
It must be a mutation, a freak of nature.
Here's a serum that will heal you whether you're rabid or not.
Position as your all-powerful and wise leader. It's been a long road to get here, but I must thank all of you for your support and loyalty.
Great Googly Moogly!
What's
batten down the hatches? They're a-coming!
Excuse you? I was right in the middle of practicing my acceptance speech. What in the hell are you babbling about?
Those things! Well, they're out there! Hundreds of them! They're everywhere! And trust me, you won't be making no kind of speech if you don't lock up them doors pronto!
And just who are these heathens you speak of?
Well, I don't know what you call them, but all I know is they make these god-awful shrieking sounds, and they'll bite your face clean off the bone. I don't know about you, but I kind of like my face. The ladies say I'm pretty.
You're definitely a sight for sore eyes. If you insist, I'll lock up, but this had better not impede on my sales for the day. I do hope you don't just plan to loiter, and we'll be making a purchase this evening.
Well, do you sell weapons? We need some real firepower to hold them suckers off.
Well, let's see. I know I had a box of goodies around here somewhere.
You got to hurry! Those son of a guns will be here any second! I don't want to die tonight, man!
Ah, here it is. Go ahead and sort through it. All sorts of smashes and bashes in there. While you're keeping yourself occupied, it's time for this episode of Horror Shop Radio. And our story tonight sounds eerily similar to the dilemma that we're presently being dealt. It's about a man named Jack, and the trouble he goes through to find his family amongst a world that's been torn apart at its very seams. Rest assured, this one's not for the weak of heart. We call this tale The Shrieks.
A deserted road winds through the countryside. A lot of farmland here. There's a big rickety barn up over that hill. It may have been red once, but the paint's pretty eroded, and it's barely standing. An old farmhouse just past it, but nobody's around. No farmers, no farm animals, not a soul in sight. And it's quiet, almost too quiet. Trees blowing in the wind, weeds in an open field sway in the breeze. In the distance, a shitty old car sits on the side of the road. It's definitely seen better days. Obvious it's been abandoned for quite some time. Rust-colored smears and spatters all over the windows. Wait, that's not rust. It's blood. And those are handprints. Something bad happened here. From far off, we hear the engine of an approaching vehicle. Sounds like a diesel. A large, dark pickup truck emerges over a hill and comes into view. It begins to slow as it approaches the abandoned car. The truck's tires creep to a stop, about 25 feet from the front of the shitty old car. The door of the truck opens. A pair of cowboy boots descend onto the pavement, and out steps Jack, a tall man dressed in a long black leather coat and a baseball cap, which hides most of his face, except for a scruffy beard. Very disheveled, a bit rough around the edges. Much like the shitty old car, Jack looks like he's seen better days. Or should I say, hasn't seen the inside of a shower since his last good day. His gloved hand reaches up to a burning cigarette between his lips. They're dry and flaky, and the smoke he exhales seems to cling to the hanging skin particles. He takes one last drag and flicks the butt away. Time to get down to business. He walks around to the side of the truck and reaches into the bed, where he finds a shotgun, 12-gauge pump action. He pulls it out and positions it across his chest. A quick jerk, and he slides the pump handle forward and back, locked and loaded. Jack's eyes frozen over as he stares down the car in front of him and begins to walk toward it. His every move, slow and methodical. One last step, and he's in front of the passenger side door. Jack stands motionless in front of the door, hesitating. His hand begins to reach forward, slowly, for the lever. His other hand clutching his weapon, ready to spring into action at any moment. He grasps the cold metal of the door handle and lifts it with great caution. An unsettling creak as the door opens toward him, little by little, to reveal a teenage boy, or maybe a sickly, infected version of what used to be a teenage boy. Looks like he had red hair, but it's now caked in mud and grime, and a gross black substance of some kind. This thing is crouched over the driver's seat of the car with its back turned to us. Its body is frail. So frail the skin is falling off the back of its arms, and its spine protruding outward so much that it's actually cutting a hole right through its shirt. A white t-shirt, that is, and jeans that it's wearing are covered in red stains. The same ones from the car window, remember? A horrible clamor of crunching and slurping coming from its general direction. A lifeless hand comes into view from beneath this boy. We can now see that it belongs to a woman, probably mid-30s, streaks of blood coursing through her blonde hair and dripping onto her contorted face, one that was once surely much prettier than its current state. Her mouth seems to have been frozen mid-scream, stretched wide open in terror. This boy, or whatever the fuck it is, an absolute abomination. Yes, let's call it that. The abomination tears at the lifeless body lying beneath it, as the sound of flesh ripping and snapping away from the body grows louder and more disturbing with each passing second. The abomination's mouth comes into view, revealing a hideous set of decayed teeth, equal parts yellow and black like a bumblebee, grinding and chomping away at the dead woman's remains. Blood spews from its chops as it devours her flesh.
Hey, you.
The abomination stops in its tracks, lifting its head to reveal black eyes, rotting skin, looks like spoiled fruit. Blood smudges all over its face. Its eyes open wider now. Its brows descend to form a V. Rapid, heavy breathing. This thing is pissed. Its lips release slowly and its teeth clashing together to form a repulsive grin. Black ooze gapes out from the crevices between its teeth.
Hungry?
The abomination takes a deep breath in and blood surges from its mouth as it hocks a giant clotted loogie. A mass of blood and black matter sprays across the windshield of the vehicle. The abomination turns slowly toward the open door, its breathing growing heavier and heavier. Blood trickles down its chin as it flashes its chompers and stares down its adversary. The shotgun is aimed right for it. Travel up the barrel, and there's Jack.
Eat this, motherfucker.
The abomination opens its mouth wide and lets out a piercing shriek. Screaming like a goddamn banshee, this thing is. Jack fires. Eyes still wide. Mouth frozen mid-scream. Big gaping hole in its head. Blood is everywhere. Standing still outside the car door, Jack gazes intently at his kill, almost as if he's studying it. He puts down his gun slowly and turns away from the car, pulls out a pack of cigarettes and puts one to his mouth. He flips open a Zippo, hits the striker a few times to light the damn thing, and a hand suddenly rises from the back seat of the car. It yanks on the back of the front seat and...
Are you shitting me?
A second one. Another young man, or, abomination, emerges from the floor. This one looks much like the other. Probably was his pot-smoking buddy at one point. Clumsily, it pulls itself over the seats to the center console of the car and gradually begins to open its mouth wide. This one's grill is just as bad as his friend's. Another hideous screech, and Jack spins around, quick as lightning, bringing the gun to his shoulder. The cigarette falls from his mouth and crashes to the ground in slow motion. Or at least that's how I'm imagining it, because it sounds pretty badass. The Zippo follows. Finger on the trigger. Another blast. And Jack stands still, eyes glaring at his second kill. His attention gradually turns to the ground nearby. He pivots and walks. He reaches down for his unlit cigarette and Zippo lying on the ground. Picks them up and stands up tall, putting the cigarette to his lips again. All this seemingly without missing a beat. He flips open the Zippo again and lights up. Takes a long drag and slams the Zippo closed, stuffing it back into his pocket. He takes the cigarette from his mouth and exhales slowly. A slight smirk presents itself.
Gonna be a good day.
Keys in the ignition. Turn of the wrist, and the engine fires up. Jack jostles the shifter and slams the truck into gear. Pedal to the metal. Three bloody bodies, the dead woman and the, abominations, lay scattered in a heap in the back of Jack's truck bed. The truck speeds off down the road, leaving the old shitty car in the distance. The Shrieks. Written and narrated by Matthew Bird. The truck pulls down a long dirt path. In the distance, a large wooden shed. It's old and sort of resembles a barn. Two large doors hanging from rusty metal tracks. It doesn't look very welcoming. The truck's tires crawl to a stop in front of the shed. Jack steps out and walks around to the back.
My name is Jack Barton. This is what I do every day. These things, I find them and I kill them. It's routine now, you know. What are they? Real-life zombies? But zombies eat brains. At least that's what everyone knows from the movies. And slow-moving? Nah, they're not the Romero types. These fuckers are fast. I never did much like the name zombies. I call them shrieks. Because of that god-awful noise they make. Goes right through you.
The tailgate drops. Jack's collection of bodies. The dead woman and the, well, I guess we'll drop the abomination title and go with shrieks now, are sprawled out inside the truck bed, piled across one another. Body parts jutting out in all different directions. Jack reaches in and grabs the first shriek by the pant leg. A line of black ooze smears down the bed liner as he drags its body out of the truck. Its bones snap and crunch as it hits the ground. It lays motionless in the dirt, blood still seeping from the gaping hole in its skull. Jack grabs the second shriek by the arm. A quick yank and the sweet sound of joint dislocation. He pulls the second shriek down and it drops headfirst into the dirt. Jack climbs up into the truck bed where the dead woman is lying face down. He picks up an axe from beside her and stands over her body.
So these shrieks, yeah, not so much zombies anyhow. Nah, I say they're more like, vampires.
Jack bends down and grabs the dead woman's shoulder. He carefully rolls her over onto her back. Got a good look at her neck now. A big chunk of flesh is missing, blood still trickling out from the wound. Jack stares down intently at the woman, his grip tightening on the axe handle as if he's waiting.
They like blood, and once you get bit, it's too late. You've already got the infection. And blood to blood, if their blood gets into your system, you're done. It just takes an hour or two to work itself through your body. And then...
Then, the dead woman suddenly comes back to life. Her neck grinds back into place, straightening itself out to come face to face with Jack. She opens her eyes. She's one of them now. She opens her mouth wide and lets out the same blood-curdling scream that we've heard before. The axe raised high above Jack's head, both hands clutching it tightly. And then...
Then, you're fucked.
Well, there's Jack now in a kitchen. It's gotta be. All the necessary appliances are there. Stove, microwave, fridge, a butcher's block with various cutlery, and Jack. He's donning black rubber gloves and a white butcher's apron, stained with blood. A painter's mask covers his mouth. A rusty cleaver occupies his hand. He pushes a pile of raw meat to the side and steadies the remaining hunk. He continues to chop the meat. Each cut is quick and precise.
God only knows how all this came to be. What caused it? Something in the water? Terrorists? Lab experiment gone wrong? Who the hell knows? It's fucked either way. What matters is learning and understanding what it takes to be able to survive it. And I think I found a solution.
Jack makes a last cut and scrapes the pieces of meat off the side of the counter. They fall into a metal trash can amongst a heaping pile of blood and guts. Jack reaches down and picks up the trash can, lifting it with both hands and raising it to his midsection.
Supper time.
It's nighttime now. Jack is dragging the metal trash can down the sidewalk, leaving behind a long, steady streak of blood. He's moving towards the shed, one that we talked about before. Looks like a barn, remember? Thankfully, that scraping noise comes to a sudden halt as Jack comes to a stop at the door to the shed. Like, dude, you couldn't have picked that shit up? Worse than nails on a chalkboard. Okay, sorry. Lost my train of thought. Anyway, he looks up slowly, staring intently at the rotting door, before reaching out his hand cautiously towards it. Little by little, the door creeps open towards Jack, revealing nothing but darkness within. There's a clamor of noises coming from inside the shed. Sounds like a large animal thrashing against a metal cage. With each thrash, a hideous growl can be heard. The growls turn into roars and grow louder and louder until Jack tugs on a chain and let there be light. There's light, all right, and it's filthy inside this shed. A makeshift workshop cluttered with all kinds of tools. Chains hang from the rafters, dry-rotted ropes as well. Old newspapers cover the floor, and the walls are decorated with blood spatters. Looks like a place of torture. Jack walks in and sets down the trash can.
In order to survive, you need to learn how they function. What goes on inside their heads. Whatever's left that hasn't rotted away. You need to learn how they move, how they communicate with each other, and what it takes to kill them. For good.
A long work table stands against the wall. Back to this torture thing. Let's see. What do we have here? An axe? A baseball bat with nails protruding from it. A machete. Blowtorch. Pruning shears. And a chainsaw. Of course there's a chainsaw. Hanging on the wall above the table, a bloody apron, gas mask, and a pair of rubber gloves.
You need the right tools to get it done. Use the wrong ones and they might seem dead, but when you least expect it, they get right back up and keep on going. Like some kind of fucked up Energizer bunnies from hell.
Jack grabs a shovel from the corner of the room and drives it into the trash can. He pulls it back out of the trash can, revealing a big scoop of human flesh and innards. Jack turns and advances toward... There it is, the large chain link cage. And yes, some kind of beast inside. Shadows only allowing a small glimpse of it at first. As we move closer, a female shriek smashes itself into the fence. Its putrid skin and long straggly hair coated in blood that looks more like motor oil. It rattles the cage aggressively while emitting more ear-piercing shrieks.
See this one I kept. I feed it what it wants. Flesh and blood. I keep it alive so I have something to go by. To help me learn more about these things. To be prepared for the hunt.
Clutching the shovel, Jack turns around to face the female shriek.
Get back, bitch!
The female shriek stops in its tracks, scowling as it stares back at him. It cautiously recedes as Jack takes the shovel and heaves the pile of guts under the open space beneath the cage.
I must destroy them all along my quest. My quest to find my...
The shriek suddenly lunges forward and dives into its platter of entrails, an utterly revolting sight to behold as it devours its dinner. It's later that night. The wee hours of the morning. Isn't that how they say it? Jack is in his room, sitting at the foot of his bed, holding a picture frame. It's got a photo of him and his beautiful wife and teenage daughter, their faces beaming with smiles. Whenever this was taken, wherever this was, they were certainly happy. Such a happy family.
3 weeks ago, I woke up and the world was a different place. Everyone was infected. And they were gone. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they're infected like the rest of them. But I have to believe that they're not. And with whatever time I have left on this earth, I'll be damned if I don't do everything in my power to find them. They're all I have. All I live for. And if this infection actually retains something in the mind, then there is hope. Hope that they can be cured and return to the state they once existed in. 3 weeks ago was the last time I saw my family. I will find them. I will find them.
Fighting back tears, Jack lies on the bed, pressing the photo tightly against his chest. Jack startles and wakes in an instant, breathing heavily. As his vision comes into focus, he glances toward the window of his bedroom. Rain pouring down against the panes. Flashes of lightning cut through the darkness of the room. He can only think of one thing. And one thing only. Jack rises from the bed and moves slowly toward the window. The lightning flash is coming so rapidly they illuminate his every advance like a strobe light. As he reaches the window, he draws open the curtain and gazes out. His eyes grow wide with terror as he sees the shed. The door is wide open. His breathing grows heavier. He looks terrified and pissed at the same time. There's a rage in his eyes. He rushes to the nightstand and turns on the lamp, the wall behind it where his shotgun normally rests. But it's gone.
Where the fuck is my gun?
Frantically, he rummages through the closet looking for something, anything. On his knees now, shoving things out of the way, breathing heavier and heavier, sweating bullets, he stops suddenly when he sees a baseball bat lying on the closet floor. He picks it up and grips it tight as he slinks down the stairs, cautiously with his back to the wall. He reaches the bottom of the stairs and steps as slowly and quietly as he can through the kitchen and out the back door. The rain thrashes down as lightning cracks the sky. Down the sidewalk he goes, baseball bat steady over his shoulder, ready to swing on the drop of a dime. The side door of the shed slamming against its own wall from the force of the wind. He's there now. Step by step, he enters the shed. Into the darkness. Into the black. As light illuminates the shed, Jack stands, one hand on the light chain, the other clenching the baseball bat over his shoulder. He forces himself to look up, his eyes swelling with fear at the sight before him. The cage. It's empty. Jack begins to panic. He spins around to find the work table. It's empty too. Every weapon is gone. Jack's eyes bulge from their sockets in disbelief. He's scared shitless.
No, this is not happening.
Jack struggles to gain his composure, shivers running down his spine. Suddenly, he feels different. His quivering body becomes completely still, stiff as a board. His neck tilts slightly to the side, his bones creaking like they need to be oiled or something. Suddenly, there's a noise from behind him. Something familiar. He turns. Jack's body flies backwards, crashing into the wall, his body convulsing on the floor. Blood pouring from the hole in his chest. Megan, Jack's teenage daughter, appears in the doorway, pointing a 12-gauge shotgun directly at him. Looking down the barrel, her face comes into view. It's clear she's worse for wear. Her straggly hair and face caked in blood, clothes ragged and torn, her eyes boiling with fury.
That's for everything you did to me.
Memories flooding back to her brain all at once. She remembers her body thrashing against the chain link fence in a fit of anger.
You bastard! Why are you doing this? You're not my father anymore!
Jack, the infected version, the real version, clutching the shovel fresh out of the gut-piled trash can, all the entrails dangling from it.
Back!
He shouts as he heaves the gut pile into the cage.
Eat it! Eat it, you fucking pig!
Megan, bawling her eyes out, breaks down and drops to her knees.
Please. Please don't do this. Please, Daddy.
Eat it!
More flashbacks of this awful scene reveal Megan bringing a sliver of bloody intestine to her mouth. Tears dispense down her cheeks, her cries echoing through the night air. She cringes, forcing the foul mess into her mouth, and she bites into it. Back to the present situation. Infected Jack lies belly up on the floor of the shed, convulsing, coughing up clots of blood, the hole in his chest emptying into a puddle beneath him. Megan drops down and straddles his body with hers, her hatred rising to an epic climax.
And this is for what you did to Mom!
She draws her arms up, wielding a chainsaw. She yanks the ripcord, and she flashes back again, this time to Mom, Jack's wife. She's lying on her back in the bed of Jack's truck, her arms and legs bound by ropes. Jack standing over her body, his axe raised high above his head. Mom lies helpless, pleading with this sickly version of her husband. We return to the present once again. Those cries carry over. This time, they belong to Jack.
No! No!
Infected Jack screams, transforming into that horrid shrieking. Blood expels from his mouth as Megan raises the chainsaw high above her head. A towering inferno of rage and resentment as she descends her arms, the blades churning fast and furious as she plunges the chainsaw deep into Jack's stomach. The chainsaw roars as it rips through his flesh and internal organs, Megan's body shaking like a jackhammer from the reverberations. After what seems like an eternity, she finally shuts down the machine and drops it to the floor. Megan gets to her feet and stares down at the mess she has made. That was at one time her father. A disturbing yet satisfying smirk develops across her face beneath a mask of blood and muck. As she turns to walk away, she hears the creaking of bones once again as Jack's head snaps back into place, his eyes wide open, staring at her like giant black saucers. A gurgling from his belly rises to his throat as black fluids bubble from his lips. Without hesitation, Megan walks to the corner of the shed. She reaches behind a pile of trash and pulls out something hidden behind it. It's the axe. The one Jack used to chop up his wife, Megan's mother. With one fell swoop, she swings the blade down with all her might, with all the energy left in her body. Jack's head is decapitated, disconnecting clean off his shoulders and toppling awkwardly to the side of his torso. A sense of relief comes over Megan. He's not coming back now. It's over. The floor of the shower is a mix of blood, water, and soap suds. Water trickles down over Megan's feet, washing it all away. Eyes closed, face lathered, as she scrubs away the filth. She turns off the water and pulls the curtain back, steps onto the bath mat, grabs a towel off the rack, and wraps it around her body. She combs her hair and ties it back. She gets dressed in the clothes she gathered from her room earlier. Everything was still in its place in her room, just as she left it before, well, before everything happened. Standing in front of the mirror, she looks back at what she sees. Exhausted, she takes a moment to collect her emotions. For a moment, she wonders if this was all just one big nightmare. Is this her reality? She opens the medicine cabinet and grabs some toothpaste and a brush. As she brushes her teeth, she can hear the sound of the bristles scraping against her teeth and gums. It's so loud it's beginning to make her head pound. It's unnerving. She swishes some water around in her mouth, which sounds like ocean waves to her. She spits into the sink and stops, dead in her tracks. A whirlwind of thoughts begin to race through her mind. What is going on? In her head, she hears the voice of her father.
They're like blood, and once you get bit, it's too late. You've already got the infection. And blood to blood, if their blood gets into your system, you're done.
Again, she remembers herself kneeling on the floor in that shed, being forced to eat from that gut pile. Megan stands in front of the sink, her jaw quivering, eyes so wide they're about to burst. She lifts her head,
staring into the open medicine cabinet.
It can't be. There's no way.
It just takes an hour or two to work itself through your body. And then...
reluctantly, she closes the mirror, revealing...
well, wasn't that a real scream? Say, have you decided on a weapon you'd like to purchase yet? And shouldn't these things you speak of have been here by now?
Man, this ain't nothing but a box of junk. What are we gonna kill with a whip and a slingshot?
Well, speak of the devil, I think your friends have finally arrived.
Ain't no friends of mine! And you neither if you don't hurry up and find something to fend them off!
Why, of course. Why didn't I think of it before? This should do the trick.
What in tarnation you fixing to do with that thing?
Don't you worry. Now, give me a countdown.
C. B. A.
Seriously? Numbers, you fool.
Oh, 5, 9, 15.
It's 3, 2, 1, you bumbling imbecile.
Uh-oh.
See? I told you it would do the trick.
Yeah, suppose you're right. They're gone, but... why is everything so dark in here now? And why is everything on fire? This shop don't look right no more.
Oh, don't you worry. We're still at the horror shop. It's just, things tend to look a little different, after hours.
Oh, poop on a stick! My dang leg's on fire, too! Put it out! Put it out! I'm on fire!
Until next time, kiddies, don't forget to stop, drop, and roll. Pleasant screams and good night from the Horror Shop.
Horror Shop Radio, Episode 2, The Shrieks, was written, directed, and produced by Matthew Bird. The cast featured the voice talents of Victoria Peruse as Megan, Andrea Richardson as Mom, and Matthew Bird, who provided the narration and the voice of Jack and the Shrieks. The musical score and theme music for this episode were composed by Steve Ville of the band Techno Kill. To hear more of their music, visit their website at technokill.com. That's TEKNOKILL. Or find them on YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes. Additional scoring for this episode was composed by Kevin MacLeod and used on a Creative Commons license. Additional sound design from freesound.org on a Creative Commons license. If you are enjoying Horror Shop Radio, please take a moment and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. This will get the show noticed more and help us to reach a broader audience. You can also support the show by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/horrorshopradio and subscribe to one of our many tiers, which come with some awesome perks. Any contributions will go towards the improvement of the show, paying for hosting fees, as well as being able to eventually offer our cast and crew some compensation for all their time and hard work, which they have all graciously donated thus far. Episode 3 of Horror Shop Radio, entitled Tree Farm, will be coming your way on December 24th, Christmas Eve. It is an audio adaptation of our original short film of the same title, with an all-new wraparound story. We thank you for listening to Horror Shop Radio and hope that you will subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also visit our website at horrorshopradio.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Horror Shop Radio is a production of Horror Shop Films and Innovation Cinema Productions. Copyright 2020.